The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind!
There we go. Okay. Just getting everything adjusted.
Don't hear anything.
Don't hear anything?
Now I do. Okay. I didn't there for a minute.
Well, good morning.
Chucky Card.
Let the dogs out.
All right, very good. Today is Sunday, December 8th, 2024. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host once again for Sovereign Minds, the radio. We're here at the studios here at KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than speeding internet, connects number five on the high speed download, 10th speed black belt RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning, by the way. Okay. Go on.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, by the way, if you're listening and you're on the freeway over there by Cyprus, land pirates are out and at it again.
There you
just
go.
Just be careful.
And our producer, Dave, who's doing a great job in there. But he's not in there, so he's...
Good. He's in there.
Oh, he's in there. I can't see him. I got such a glare, I can't see. Anyway, very good. And let's see. What do we got going today? We've got a ton of stuff. We've got... a special guest here. I guess he's calling in a couple minutes, Mark Baird.
Yeah, as far as I know.
I've got a couple of clips here to play. Wow. What a news cycle we're in these days. It's absolute insanity. I think, with the holiday season and everything that's going on and, you know, it's hard to digest everything that's happening in the news cycle with the president making his recommendations for the cabinet posts and it just goes on and on and on and on and all the infighting and then the local politics here. We've got this election thing is just so screwed up in Shasta County that I don't even know what to think about it. But
it's the best election we've ever had, according to the worst people.
No problemo.
Like I said, elections are real.
that's deep, Dave.
That's so deep. But I guess we do have one of our guests on the line, the first guest, I should say. We do have Mark Baird on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, the fun never stops, man. You know that.
that's true, really.
It is true.
Sadly.
Sometimes I wish it wasn't so true as it is.
Well, I'm afraid you just can't get there from here.
Ah, man, I'll tell you. Is it me or is it just things are just crazy as all get out on every front?
I mean, you know, first of all, we live in a state that's literally crazy town. I can't believe some of the stuff that comes out of the governor's mouth. I can't believe a lot of the things that come out of the legislature. 900 laws a year, every single one of them designed to take your money or your liberty, and people don't seem very upset about it.
Well,
I mean,
here's
crazy.
Here's a little news item while we're on that subject. This is on Mountaintop Times, and I haven't had a chance to read it. It's a Chris Street article. Governor Newsom buys a $9.1 million Marin mansion to ramp up his 2028 presidential run.
I mean,
what do you say?
Well, what can you say to something like that? I mean, he is probably the worst governor the state's ever had. It's funny. I never ever thought I'd hear myself call Jerry Brown a moderate.
But, oh, boy.
But it's always in California, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know.
Yep.
So when we finally, when Newsom terms out the equivalent of dying of old age as a governor, who's going to replace him? Is it going to be like Becerra or Rob Bonta? Or
well, they're talking about Kamala.
Rato?
They're talking about Kamala.
Yeah, they have talked about her. Coming and taking his place.
I'm sure she's electable, isn't she?
Oh yeah, she's an upstanding
candidate. Do you know the best thing that happened after the election was I didn't have to hear that woman's cackling anymore. I'm not kidding you. It kind of went quiet for a while, you know, and then we got got her.
Then you got her where she's all doped up.
Yeah, I got her drunken slur, mea culpa, whatever, but.
Well, I like the before and after pictures. I think they're the most fun when you look at her on the stage at these rallies and stuff, and she looks like she's about 20 in the picture. Then you look at her in the after picture when she gave that speech, when she finally surfaced after losing the election and taking off to Hawaii and doing all kinds of other stuff. And she looked like a ghost got a hold of her. I don't know.
Hey, that AI will do a lot for you on your complexion.
Yeah, but you got to be able to pay for it. See, and now she can't pay for that anymore.
No, she spent all of her money and then some.
Can you imagine a person that is such a spendthrift as that? I mean, just look at her campaign and would be in charge of our government and the spending and the programs and the stuff that because if they were going to just ram through it, like just like Biden was doing, they're just
I was going to say she'd be no different than what we've already had for the last 4 years.
Only worse because she can't even keep her budget on her campaign in check.
Well, I mean, look what we have here now. We have a government that's, by their own admission, more than $1.2 trillion in debt. They're still continuing to try to pass these bonds like the water bond that costs Californians $44 million a year in interest payments for the next 40 years and didn't build one single water storage facility with $8 billion and a governor that has given $27 billion to illegals and only $2 billion to veterans. And he's committed another $25 or $27 million of your money to fight a presidential administration that hasn't even taken office yet. So he's stacked himself up. I'm going to fight Donald Trump. Well, what are you going to fight him on? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to fight him. You know, he's not even in office yet, but by gosh, I'm going to fight him because I'm the fighter of Donald Trump. What's Gavin Newsom's claim to fame? I'm going to fight Donald Trump. That's pretty much it. And we live in this state, and we seemingly are powerless against these people, but there is some good news. We can do something about this. We're going for a statewide initiative to break California up, by changing, the California Constitution in Article 2, Section 1, which is the section that gives us the authority to alter or reform government whenever the public good demands it, and that's the beauty of Article 2, Section 1, it doesn't spell out a method. So the method we've chosen is in accordance with, I think it's Article 18, the initiative clause of the California Constitution, and Article 2, Section 8, which defines how you have an initiative placed on the ballot and what initiatives can do, and among those things are changing the California Constitution. So our initiative will be a command to the legislature to pass Article 4, Section 3 state split by county, and the counties will vote on the state they want to join, and the obvious ones will be coastal California, where all the liberal socialists will want to be, and then Northern California or Jefferson, which is where we will want to be, and probably Central California and Southeastern California or whatever they decide to call their state. But we will command the legislature to pass Article 4, Section 3 state split legislation according to the terms of the initiative, which we haven't quite finished yet, and hopefully get away from this crazy house and start over.
Well, I think that we've got to get this voting issue under control as well, because, I mean, right now, I mean, the reason that they've stayed in power, at least up here, is that I think they've rigged the vote so much on and this election that we're in and the fallout that's happening right now just in our local county kind of proves that. You know, if you listen to the last hour with Laura Hobbs and so forth, and you know, they're counting ballots that they know are not supposed to be counted and all kinds of things. So it's really a conundrum. And Trump, I think, has got legislation pending to proof of ID, you know, ID and proof of citizenship on a federal level for all the states. I mean, does that play into any of this?
Well, yeah, it certainly will, and it has to. I mean, and I have firsthand knowledge of voter fraud in my community. I was involved in the investigation where we proved it in the Secretary of State's office. Contrary to his constitutional mandate, he allows illegal aliens to vote, and in under the California Constitution, only legitimate United States citizens who are residents of California may vote. So the Secretary of State has violated the California Constitution and assumably California law, because California Constitution is the second highest law of the land, right behind the federal Constitution. So the Secretary of State and the State's Attorney General and the Governor have violated that law. They violated Title 8, 1324, harboring and shielding illegal aliens. So hopefully, with the empaneling of a new president of the United States, we can make complaints to a new FBI and accuse these guys of federal crimes and maybe get them arrested or maybe get them sanctioned or maybe just get some action to have these things reversed.
I think another. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No, that's okay. I just, you know, before we came on the air and when you started talking about the initiative to begin with, Mark, you know, I still have people say to me, you know, State of Jefferson tried to have it happen for the last 30 years. What's going to make it different? Can you kind of, I know you've been over it many times, and it's kind of getting away from the election part of it, but they don't understand that this is a whole different thing that you're proposing to do with the state now than it was 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've tried many paths to the same conclusion. We tried initiatives by county, and the crooked state legislature ignored their own rules, ignored their own mandate, failed to pass those out, failed to have any discussions about it, failed to take any action, either positive or negative, about it. Basically, they just ignored the residents of the state. Then we tried going to court. We had a legitimate lawsuit. We ran into a crooked federal judge who, by the way, for the first time in the history of the court, a federal judge reversed her own decision, because under the rules of federal procedure and under federal law, any voter dilution case, any lack of representation case, must be placed before a three-judge panel. No single judge can be trusted with the vote of the people, according to federal law. And yet, Judge Mueller, when we brought this case, voter dilution, lack of representation, she ordered that a three-judge panel be empowered. That is her only constitutional duty as a federal judge in a voter dilution case, which she did. And then 3 days later, after having unlawful conversations with people who were not fully briefed on the case, in other words, they weren't there and they weren't participants, she reversed her own order and refused to empanel the three-judge court. Well, let's see. Now, if she, having heard all of the evidence in the pre-trial filings and so on, ordered the three-judge panel, and then, following her authority as a judge, spoke to no one about the case that wasn't briefed on the case, had no official communications with both sides, because if you communicate with one side, you also have to transmit that communication to the other side, and we received nothing from her in the interim. Having communicated with ostensibly no one, decided that she was going to reverse her own order and refuse to empanel the three-judge court to hear the case, and then after that, did every illegal thing you can possibly do to stop the case and ran us out of money. Judges steal your liberty all the time. They just outspend you because they know you have to pay for your lawyer and you have to pay for the other side's lawyer. So that was an illegal activity, but she did it in order to stamp out the liberty we were very likely to win out of that court case. Okay, so that happens. You can't be a baby about it. It just is what it is. So now we're going the third route, which is the only route left open to us besides armed intervention and armed self-help, and we don't want to do that. We want to follow legal, ethical, and constitutional processes. We have jurisdiction under Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. We have jurisdiction under Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. We have jurisdiction under Article 2, Section 8 of the California Constitution to place an initiative on the ballot, provided we can get the required signatures, and it would be about 1.6 million signatures, to allow each county to vote to say which state they would rather belong to, California, Jefferson, Coastal California, whatever it may be. Each county will have the power to say which state they want to live in and what kind of liberty that state may give them.
Very good. Wow. Hopefully that helps clear things up for some of the people that are still not understanding what's going on with the state of Jefferson and why.
Well, I think the big question is, have you had enough yet? I mean,
that's true. You know,
I was just looking at my airplane gas map and looking at a news article. Gasoline is around $2 a gallon in a lot of states of the union. How much is it here again? $4.49, and another 64 cents a gallon gas tax on the way. So that'll put it up to, I don't know, a shade over $5 when everybody else is paying $2 a gallon. Are you crazy? You'd vote for that, really?
Well, and once again, meanwhile, you have the other option of the electric vehicles. And in the electric vehicle sphere, they're constantly trying to push that $1 to $2 a mile tax that they want to put on that. So if you think that, oh, it's going to push people to go green, the moment you get people, enough people to go green, they're going to be right back in your pants like ants.
Well, there is that, but after 2033... you won't be allowed to have a gasoline-powered vehicle. You can't have a gasoline-powered lawnmower, a gasoline-powered chainsaw, a gasoline-powered weed eater.
So the things that work, gotcha.
Right. You cannot have the most efficient tools the world has ever known. You have to have this battery-operated crap that doesn't work and produces more trash than gasoline-powered vehicles ever did.
Yeah,
and in addition to that, get ready for your food prices to maybe go up, because I don't know about the rest of the guys around here, but I can't plow a field with an electric tractor.
Right.
No.
And they're trying to even extend that to the RVs and stuff. Did you see that, Mark, where they're trying to make all RVs electric in California?
Yeah, I mean, really, what kind of lunacy is this? Now, let's take a look at this just on its most basic level. California is about 40 million people, give or take. The world has around 7.5 to 8 billion people. That makes California well under 1% of the world's population. And yet, the governor and the legislature of this state is willing to destroy the lives, the economy, the liberty, the security, the economic security of 40 million of its own people in order to save what? If California disappeared forever tomorrow, it would have no impact on world climate, either positive or negative. If California does every crazy-ass thing it's proposing and destroys the lives and economy of 40 million people, it will have no impact on world climate, either positive or negative. And then let's go on to the more esoteric. What outcome are they hoping for, and for whom? Are they hoping to save the world climate by what? By lowering the temperature 1 degree over the next 100 years? Well, hell, the temperature goes up and down 15, 20, 30 degrees at my house every morning and every night.
Well, they're going to save it. They're going to save it by injecting cows with virus protection so that it stops the methane from coming out of their rear ends. Because that, according to Bill Gates, we played this on Sovereign Minds, the podcast, last week, excuse me, that according to Bill Gates is the second highest problem with climate change in the world.
Yeah, I know I trust Bill Gates with my life decisions, I'll tell you.
But only in California.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bill Gates not only knowing the front end of a cow from the back end of a cow probably doesn't realize that it is the flora and fauna in the cow's rumen that allows them to digest the food they eat, because Bill Gates probably also doesn't know that there are tens of millions of acres of land in the United States not capable of growing any row crop, only capable of growing grasses. And human beings, oddly enough, can't eat grass. But cows can eat grass, and that turns the grass into protein, and then people can eat the protein.
Well, but then they've got an answer. Their answer for that is they're going to have this metal rod that goes in somehow into the cow and stops that, and then they're going to be producing...
Making their own meat.
Yeah, they're just going to create meat out of...
Yeah, don't you know we're beyond meat now?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and anybody that likes to eat bugs would agree with you, too.
So here I got another one for you that just really tickles all of me right now. So California, as many know who have tried to purchase a home, upgrade a home, sell a home, anything to do with a home, you have to have solar panels now on your home. But
you've got to have fire sprinklers, too.
Oh, that too. But this particular one, so there is a new thing that they're doing. This just came out this week, to where all of the stockpiled solar panels. Now, mind you, we don't really have any solar companies that are in the United States, and that's because China ended up stealing our solar panel technology that a company in the United States created. But all of the solar panels that were purchased in Asia, now here in America, are retroactively going to get between a 230% tariff retroactively placed on them, to the point to where it's going to be more beneficial to throw away all of the solar panels that you have than to keep them. So many businesses are going to go completely bankrupt over this, and so many are just going to decide retroactively before that December 3rd date, because, I mean, we're right there. I mean, we're literally, bill may soon come due for millions
December
of
selfies. You mean January 3rd?
Well, December 3rd. Here's the good part. You can't even throw that stuff away because it has toxic material in it, like arsenic and selenium and all kinds of stuff. So
bingo.
Every time you go to throw a solar panel away, it's a hazmat. And in addition to that, all those big wind turbines that they're so proud of and trying to build still in Shasta County, those are hazmats. You can't throw those away. Oh, and by the way, I just read a really great article about how many wildfires are caused by wind turbines, because the head explodes and then the blades throw burning material as far as a quarter mile away from the ignition.
Unbelievable.
So,
that's got to be good for the environment.
Build some of those down by Round Mountain. I think build 400 or 500 of them, because you do have a little bit of forest left down there, but you won't have after one of these things goes off.
I still think we got to go back to the election part of it, because Homan, as the new border czar, if you will, is talking about arresting. Now, the governor's been aiding and abetting these, and the legislature, all of them have been aiding and abetting illegal immigrations, illegal voting, and I forget which governor, I think it was the one in Colorado, I'm not sure, that said that they were going to defy him. And he's talking about, well, if they want to get arrested, I will do it. What do you think? Wouldn't that be a great day if Newsom got arrested by the border czar?
Well, I think Newsom is not only in violation of Title 8, 1324, harboring and shielding, they've changed the law, by the way, certain kinds of aliens. What is the definition of certain kinds of aliens, by the way? Illegal ones. So Newsom is in violation of Title 8, 1324, so is the entire legislature of the state of California that voted for sanctuary states, so is his AG, and so is his Secretary of State. But in my opinion, he's also an accessory to murder, because several illegal aliens, which he harbored, shielded, enabled, and paid for their lives and livelihoods with the taxpayers' funds of the state of California, have murdered police officers and civilians, and that trail of blood goes straight to the Sacramento and straight to the Capitol building and straight to Gavin Newsom's office.
Well, it's interesting. Megyn Kelly said, and I think that she's onto something, she said that, you know, they've been using lawfare against all of their political enemies. That's why the pardoning thing's coming down the pipe, where he's pardoned everybody and everything for crimes either committed, not charged, or anything, you know, a blanket pardon, which is crazy. And that in itself should show you the level of criminal, activity up there at that highest level. But she said the only way you're going to end this is start prosecuting these guys for breaking the law, because they're just, you know. And, of course, the left is, well, you're going after political enemies. No, there's a big difference between going after a political enemy and going after somebody who's actually broke the law. So
I guess with that, we need to take a break, and we will continue this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Reading Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Yeah, yeah. Something done. There's a new dance move going on. Check it out. Everybody move your arms like this. There's a dance other people doing. I think it's a hit. Don't be shy. Go and get up on the dance floor. Have the time of your life. I'm the man. Do the drop. Do the drop. In the school, in the pool, or in the club. We don't got no time for haters. They just can't wait. We're about to turn the country to a red state. Do the drop. Do the drop. Do the. Do the. Do the drop. Do the drop. Do the drop. Do the. Do the. Do the drop.
Tamala thought she had me, that's a funny fact. We could celebrate now and just laugh at that. America the beautiful, home of the brave. Ask them why they hate me, they got nothing to say. They say I'm not a politician, I'm just here to have fun. Yeah, I got a little bit, but I get the job done. I got respect all over the world. Donald Trump is the name and I'm taking your girl. Everybody move your arms like this. There's a dance all the people doing.
Do the Trump. There you go. That's for all you leftists out there. Do the Trump. Get out there and do the Trump a little bit. You know, you need to do the Trump. It's crazy. But I just wanted to bring up before we get back to our guests that it's funny that all the meatheads are not in the chat room at KCNR anymore after the election. I wonder why that is.
Oh, it's funny how that works out. But how many of them are bots, too? That's the big thing.
No, the one we're talking about, it's not a bot. He might be a meathead, an idiot, and a lot of things, a moron, a psycho, a mentally deranged.
Nice.
But I don't think bot really does that. Maybe there's like crazy bot.
NPC, non-playable character.
We have that new layer of security on there. You do need an email to...
Oh, maybe they can't figure out how to get in there
anymore. Have fun with that one.
But everybody's on the chat room over at Fireside News now, so I guess we
don't have to deal with all the crap.
Anyway,
we're streaming over there on Rumble right now, and once again, before
I just had a phone call and no one was there, and maybe it was that guy,
Jackbot. Jackbot.
NPC.
Chatbot.
Oh, chatbot.
Jackbot.
I didn't know there was a jackbot. Anyway, let's get back to our guest. We got Mark Baird on the line with us, and we're talking about all the stuff that's going on in Northern California, the state, the country, and we're specifically going after the state of Jefferson and how we can make it real, we need, we fix the votes, and I think it starts to become a lot more real. Well, that's what we're talking about, is that, if you got... How many illegal aliens do you think we got in the state of California? 10 million or something? Do you think that affects the vote at all?
No.
Well, I mean, we have a third of all illegal aliens in the United States. That's a lot. I mean, it's probably over 10 million people.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So do you think that if those guys are all voting illegally, that is crossing a line?
Well, I think whether all of them vote or even a third of them vote, it's crossing the line. I mean, but once again, the investigation we had here in Siskiyou County, there were illegal aliens voting. There were people who voted twice. They live in Sacramento, and they voted in Sacramento and voted in Siskiyou County. They lived in a different state like Minnesota or Georgia or North Carolina. They voted in those states, and they voted in the state of California. And at the time, they were trying to get a legalized marijuana ordinance passed, and that's why they voted in the election. The illegals did, but nevertheless, that's a fraudulent vote. And I was told by a Secretary of State investigator that the Secretary of State wanted everybody to vote, even illegals. Well, that's a violation of his constitutional mandate, because the California Constitution clearly states that only lawful United States citizens who are residents of California may vote.
Well, they don't care because there's no one to hold them to account. That's the problem right there. You got a corrupt DOJ at the federal level under the Biden administration. And
Jeffrey Dahmer didn't care whether he used ketchup or not on his next human meal, but he still ended up spending the rest of his life in prison. I mean, whether they care or not, it's still a crime. Our problem is, how do we prosecute the crime?
Exactly.
How do we have the political horsepower to prosecute that crime?
Well, I think we'll see what happens if we get the DOJ, in there that's going to do something about it and actually go after these people, because this lawfare thing's got to stop, and that's what they've been doing, is that they don't care what the law is because there's nobody to hold them to account, so they just break the law randomly anytime they feel like it, because what are you going to do?
Well, I have one thought about that. In Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, it says that the states will be provided a republican form of government. Well, the remedy to that is legislative. In other words, the Congress has power over making sure that states have a republican form of government. Therefore, to me, and this is a unique legal theory, we'd need an attorney to either verify this or say, no, it's balderdash, but... therefore, a state official, a state elected official who knowingly and willingly violates the California Constitution would be in violation of something that has federal mandates. So I'm wondering if they could be prosecuted in federal court for that.
I would think so.
You would think. Well,
I would think so.
Because let's face it, you can't win in state court against the state.
No, because they have their own guys.
Crooked.
They have their own people in those positions of power. Just like with Mueller down there,
she
breaks her own rules just to make sure that nobody can get to justice.
She not only breaks her own rules, she violates federal rules of procedure. She violates the dicta of her own court. She violates Supreme Court precedent, state court precedent, federal court precedent. She even violates her own appellate court precedent. She is simply a hack for the Democratic Party. But our problem with federal judges is you can't get rid of them because somehow under the Constitution, Article 3, Section 1 or 2, it says that judges serve for a term of good behavior, but that's morphed over time to mean life. And good behavior and life are two different things to me, but that's how they do it. And we've never really gotten rid of a federal judge. I think it's happened maybe twice for some pretty egregious behavior. But to me, contravening the law for your own purposes or for political purposes, that's illegal behavior. But you can't get rid of them. So we have to somehow find a way to work around that.
Well, you know, I use Brave. I hate to say Scroogle, but I braved dictator. You know, and we hear this from the left constantly about, oh, Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. But the definition of dictator is, number one, this is Merriam-Webster, a person granted absolute emergency power. Now, didn't that happen in COVID in California, where Governor Newsom declared an emergency and just rewrote all of the laws as far as elections and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even granted emergency power. He gave it to himself. And I've read the Emergency Services Act probably 50 times, and nowhere in it, does any agent or agency of the government receive extra constitutional powers with one single exception, and that is in times of invasion or war. So Newsom granted himself the extra constitutional power to command businesses to close, to decide the winners and the losers in his view. In other words, you couldn't go to church, but you could go to a titty bar. You couldn't go to the local hardware store in Fort Jones because that was a non-essential business, but you could go to Walmart and reward one of the richest corporations in America instead of the small business owners that are your neighbors. And he did all kinds of things with health departments and stuff like that when the ESA really only gives him the power to borrow money or people from one agency and loan them to another to achieve some goal that I would assume would be the product of the emergency. But he cannot take property. He cannot assume authority over constitutionally protected property that is not part of the Emergency Services Act. So he broke the law there.
Well, and then the B definition is one holding complete autocratic control, a person with unlimited governmental power. Gee, does that sound like what's been going on, not just in California, but in Washington as well, where the guy defies the Supreme Court, they do anything they want, they go after their political enemies, they make up charges to go after their political enemies, they open up the borders so that people can come over anytime they want with no screening, no requirements to, assimilate as American citizens, nothing, or even go through a port of entry. They just come through illegally and they let them do it. So defying all law, isn't that what a dictator is? And they keep pointing at Trump, but Trump did none of that.
Well, it may be the definition of a dictator, but it's certainly the definition of a criminal. And when you violate federal code, when you violate state code, when you violate constitutional law knowingly and willingly, in other words, you have mens rea, you have a guilty intent in the doing of those deeds, you are a criminal. And the justice system in this country was designed to prosecute criminals and assign punishment to them. So, look, the judges are the problem here, and judges and prosecutors are the problem here. But I'm asking the people of California, have you had enough yet? Are you tired of it? Because we have it within our power under Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution to absolutely do something about this And we can do something dramatic and change the environment here so that we can regain our liberty, regain progress, regain a good standard of living, and pass it along to our children and our grandchildren.
I just have to add that there was one more definition here that is that when you cross a man's genitalia with a potato.
You, what is it?
A dictator.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Brian Stelter.
Sorry.
Tater.
Oh, boy.
Head, whatever.
I had to do something to break up the seriousness of that because...
Yeah.
Anyway, little tongue-in-cheek there, whatever. But going back to what we're talking about here, so this initiative, you think, is the way to get this thing done and split the state up?
I would rather do it another way, but it's the only way left open to us. We've tried every other legitimate, lawful, constitutional, ethical, moral path. We've been thwarted by the crooks and the criminals who have all the money and they have control of the media. And, you know, look, we can't whine too much about that because we did it to ourselves. Remember, you don't get the government you deserve. You get the government you allowed. We allowed this to happen to ourselves, and now we're in the unenviable position of trying to do something about it way, way, way after the fact. We're pretty darn late to the table here.
Well, I think that the media's grip has been broken to a big degree after this election because everybody, the mainstream media's ratings are just tanking. They're going to be firing everybody pretty soon because nobody's watching them anymore. They're trying to reconfigure, you know, their model and their business plan because nobody wants to listen to them anymore. Because I guess when you just lie to everybody about everything, nobody wants to pay attention to you anymore. So there's other pieces of the puzzle that are coming into place with journalism at the local level, at, you know, with citizen journalism, and then you've got the big podcasts like Joe Rogan and Dan Bongino and there's several others that are huge. Dan Bongino now is the biggest podcast in America. He's got the most live listeners than anybody. He's way above everybody. So that's changing now, and I think you're starting to see the people's perception of everything changing with it.
Well, I think that's certainly true nationally. I mean, remember, we're in the microcosm of California here in crazy land, and mm-hmm. I think that the micro entities of these news agencies still have a lot of power in California because, like the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Sacramento Bee, Reading, what's the Reading paper called?
I don't remember because I call it the Fleshlight. Yeah. It's the Fleshlight, yeah. I don't think anybody reads it anymore, and their building is vacant.
Well, I when you hold that paper up to the light, you can see right through it. That's the same with the Siskiyou Daily News. Mm-hmm. It used to be a paper that was sold every day. Now it's on the computer only, and it got down to one page because everybody was tired of reading the bull. If I want bull manure, I can just go out to my pasture and get it for nothing. I don't have to pay for it.
I always say I can call my congressman if I want BS.
So what do people need to do to help with the initiative to get it going or help you to get it going?
Well, number one, they need to be aware of it. So we've got to spread the word, and they have to spread the word, and then their friends have to spread the word because they've got to know this is coming. And then we've got to get this thing written. We're building a website right now. So keep your eyes open for CaliforniaStateSplit.com. And once again, this is statewide. So we're going to not only get Jefferson out of the deal, but the other counties that won't vote, in other words, when you vote for what state you want to be in, you have to be contiguous to that state. So Northern California will certainly be Jefferson. Now, how far south Jefferson goes will be up to the voters and the counties affected that touch counties that are part of the state of Jefferson.
There may be three states.
There may be four. We don't know yet, but people have to be aware of it. And we're building the website. I have to write the initiative. We'll get that going, get it reviewed by attorneys, get that printed. And we're going to put a web page on the website for all 58 counties in California. Each one will have a website that they can have the progress in their county and where to go, where the rallies are going to be, how to get your signature recorded, how to sign the initiative, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we need to do a podcast with you, Mark, and get you down there, and we can get all this stuff up on the podcast as far as, you know, your website and, you know, and make it clearer.
When you get the website and everything, so we can do it all in one and get the information out there. Did you do some videos that are going to be available, too, on this?
Yeah, I think there are videos out on this right now through Mountaintop Media.
All right, so that's what we need to do is get all that, maybe get that on our podcast so we can get out to our viewers as well and set it up to where it makes sense.
Terry and Wynn have the links to all those videos. I don't, but they do.
I think I have them in front of me.
I think I do, too. The four-parters?
Terry gave me a list of...
Yeah, there's four parts to it, that you guys did. Okay.
Terry gave me a list of them here.
But we need to let people know that more and more and push that out. So they can be informed.
Article 2, Section 8 of the California Constitution tells us that we need to get 5% of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial election, and I'm assuming that 20 million people voted in it. That's probably a high number, but that's the registered voters in California. So we need about 1 million to 1.6 million signatures, and those signatures are going to cost us, the last figure I've heard, are like $3 each. So we need to raise money, and we'll have a donate button on the website, and the board of CFR, Citizens for Fair Representation, we had a meeting with them, and they've agreed to channel the money to you, Linda, to the Pecan account, and so we'll have that, a donate button on the website, and people will put state split or Cal split or something like that in the memo line to make sure we keep all that straight, but we need to raise probably $6 million to get this done. Now that sounds like big money, but it's really not. If 600 people gave $1,000 each, we'd have it done. I will give $1,000 to this. I need 599 more people to do the same thing.
I'll pledge $1,000 right now to that, Mark, as soon as you get it up.
But we only need 598 people. I mean, you see how this could go.
Yep.
It's not that much money, and if we could just, you know, and by the way, this money will be spread all over California. So
that's what I was just going to say. If you go to each county, I mean, how many counties are going to have somebody who's going to donate? I mean, what have we got, 52
58?
Counties?
58.
How many counties?
Right. 58, right?
If 10 people in each county gave $1,000, we'd be there.
Right. So I think it's doable.
But remember
this,
though.
Yeah.
There is no more dangerous animal than an animal cornered. So once we get this initiative out, if we can validate the signatures and get it on the next general election ballot, which will be 2 years from now, the state will pull out all stops. And they have unlimited funds from the teachers union, CalPERS, CalSTRS, California Nurses Association, and all the crooks that run Sacramento. They are going to try to stop us. So we will have to be a lot like Donald Trump's movement, where he raised half the money and won in a landslide.
I think that it's going to be a different climate in 2 years as well. If everything goes the way that I'm seeing it going and the trends that are starting to develop, that we're going to have a new DOJ at the federal level. We should be able to prosecute some of these people for some of this stuff. And it might start putting a little bad taste in their mouth at some point where it's like, is it worth breaking the law at this point? Because now we're being held to account.
Well, I pray that you're right. I hope you are right. And I look forward to this because this is pretty much the last chance we have to do this in a legal, moral, and ethical way. So if everybody's tired of it, and I know if I have a chance to pay $2 a gallon for gas instead of $5, I'd like to take it. If I could buy a dozen eggs for $1 instead of $7, that would be okay with me. I mean, if I lived in a state that wasn't the highest taxes in the United States, I'd like that. In other words, it's easier for me to change the state than it is to move. Let's change the state. Let's make the state into one that we want instead of one that we're stuck with and one that persecutes us and takes every opportunity to make your life crappier and smaller that they possibly can, all the while enriching themselves in the doing of it.
Well,
we have a choice.
Go ahead, Mark.
Let's make the right choice because this may be our last chance in our lifetime.
Well, and things are going to get worse before they get better, too, especially on the economic front, in my opinion. I mean, we're set up for, I mean, the Biden administration has got a slash and burn policy right now where I think they're trying to actually sink the country economically with all of their last minute, initiatives that they're doing, whether it's pardoning all of their people or spending all the money, and look what they did on all the economics things. I mean, we're set up for a huge problem economically. Now, can Trump get in there and turn it around? I think if anybody can do it, it can be Trump, but I think we're still going to see a lot of real problems, especially with inflation and other things.
Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. And housing prices, there may be a real bubble here that will break, because housing prices right now are unsustainable with the interest rates we have. And I agree with you completely. And California is very real estate driven. So I believe there's an opportunity for an economic downturn that's going to be pretty severe.
Yep.
And just think about it this way. When your finances are in the toilet, do you think the state legislature is going to lower the price of gas just because you're having a hard time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
They love us.
They take care of us
so well.
That's why they just want to keep putting more taxes on it.
Yeah, so
we have a chance to do something before it gets bad. Look, are we the worst kind of stupid that we ignore that opportunity, or are we going to take the opportunity, seize the day, and make our lives better once and for all?
Well, I
think it's totally worth a shot to give it to see what happens.
It can't hurt.
It can't hurt, because look at how much we've been working at it already in all the different avenues we tried. So,
yeah, look, I mean, for the people out there that don't know too much about this, we've been working on trying to liberate this part of the state from the tyranny of Sacramento, the tyranny of the majority, for so long. I mean, decades, literally. We've spent our money, we've spent our lives, our treasure, we've placed our sacred honor on the line. Help us. If you help us, we can do this.
Well,
and even, like you say, even if not everybody gave $1,000, every little bit adds up when you start talking about all the different counties that we can get funds from.
Yeah, that's right. And in addition to that, if anybody's listening that's willing to bring charges against the governor for aiding and abetting an illegal vote, I'll testify, and I have firsthand knowledge that it's true.
Well, I think that that's where we're headed. We've got, 39 days, 45 days, I'm not even sure how much, until Trump takes office, and then we're going to go from there and see what happens. I think that it's being recognized even at this point that he's taken over power in Washington already, de facto, because, Kamala and Biden are not even existing there anymore. I mean, they're there, but they're just existing, and that's about it. But we only got a couple minutes here. Have you got anything you want to conclude with, Mark?
I say the time has come for 51, and we are the worst kind of fools if we don't take advantage of the opportunity. The political climate in Washington, D.C. is ripe for the next 2 years at least for a state split. The political climate in California is changing, as you said. 30 counties voted in the majority for Trump. That's the majority of the counties. Let's seize the moment. Let's make something good out of this. Let's make it happen and break this state up before the criminals are so deeply rooted that we can't get rid of them.
Well, and I think you'd see a mass exodus from the southern parts of the state or to whatever, however the split is done, people running out of those places because they want to go someplace where they're not being overtaxed, overregulated, oppressed by their own government.
Yeah, and there's some of those counties down there that are already, turning over to the right side.
And, when we look at this geopolitically, it's funny. The split lines up better east-west than it does north-south. I think that one of the states will be coastal California, and the other states will basically be eastern and central California, aside from Jefferson, that is.
There you have it.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on, Mark. We're just about, we got like 30 seconds left, so
well,
we do appreciate it, and keep us updated.
You do, and thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks, you have
Mark.
A wonderful day.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
All right, very good. We got like 19 seconds.
Yeah, we get
seconds,
like
we're
worse.
Out here.
Just
we'll
seconds.
We'll come back
on the other side.
We'll come back with the town hall and then some more stuff. Absolutely.
All right. And we will see you on the other side in about 5.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. The Russian state news agencies say ousted Syrian President Bashar Assad has arrived in Moscow today with his family and been given asylum just hours after Russia said he left Syria after negotiating with rebel groups that took Damascus last night and now control the country. Who are the rebels? Abu Muhammad al-Golani, the leader who led the stunning insurgency that toppled Assad, has been spending years working to remake his public image. The U.S., however, still lists him as a Muslim terrorist. An American journalist may still be alive after more than a decade missing in Syria.
The family of journalist Austin Tice says there's evidence to show he is alive. Austin Tice's mother, Deborah, gathered reporters to announce.
We have from a significant source that has already been vetted all over our government. Austin Tice is alive. Austin Tice is treated well.
The family met with national security officials amid the insurgent uprising in Syria. Tice's father, Mark, says the White House has been less than helpful in trying to secure the reporters' release. Tice disappeared in Syria in 2012. I'm Jackie Quinn.
North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis says Republicans may have to put in some long days to take advantage of their opportunities once President-elect Trump is sworn in next month.
The American people need results. And anybody who wants to go to the mic and say, I'm uncomfortable with working 7 days a week, should say that to the public, not to me in a conference.
Senator Tillis spoke to the Salem Radio Network. President-elect Trump today called for an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine shortly after a meeting in Paris with French and Ukrainian leaders. He says Kiev, quote, would like to make a deal to end the more than 1,000-day war in a post on his Truth Social platform. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're driving a car, truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Endurance has paid hundreds of millions in claims. Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-298-9534. That's 800-298-9534. 800-298-9534.
The foreign ministers of Germany, France, and Poland have strongly condemned, quote, the disproportionate use of force against peaceful protesters and the targeting of the opposition and media representatives in Georgia. Mass protests there fueled by the governing party's decision to suspend negotiations on joining the EU have entered a second week, with police cracking down on demonstrators with increasing force. The three foreign ministers called for the immediate release of opposition members after their meeting yesterday. Authorities say a motorcycle loaded with explosives has detonated at a police checkpoint in southwestern Colombia, killing the driver and injuring 14 others. Officers had been conducting inspections in the community of Las Peñas to prevent possible violence by illegal armed groups. That's according to the local commander, who says the organized crime group Jaime Martinez is active in the area and it has caused trouble before. News and analysis at townhall.com. Super Micro Computer says a review committee has found no evidence of fraud or misconduct among the server maker's leadership.
Super Micro is also searching for a new chief financial officer and appointing other executives per recommendations from the committee. The panel began its review several months ago after Ernst & Young communicated concerns over issues like transparency. Additional information that emerged during this review eventually led EY to resign as Supermicro's public accountant in October. But on Monday, Supermicro maintained its committee found no evidence of misconduct.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, December the 8th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including Baseball Hall of Famer Mike Mussina. The pitcher is 56 years old. Actor Dominic Monaghan is 48. Flautist James Galway has 85 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds, and we're going to go ahead and go straight to the town hall brief, and then we'll be back with the rest of the program for the day. And it'll be open line callers after that, and we've got a few other clips to run. And I wanted to kind of go over some of the election stuff, Laura Hobbs's revelations on some things, and whoever wants to call in and explain that. And then we were going to have Kevin Cry on, and evidently he had some issues. He couldn't come, so... we might want to talk about that as well. But here we go with the town brief. Oh, hold on a second.
Nope. Got to plug in. And once again, we got almost technical difficulties. We're almost. And right. Now we're ready.
We're there.
Yeah, we really
now.
Are.
Yeah, here we go.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. Shasta County will see three new supervisors take office in 2025. In District 3, business owner Corky Harmon defeated incumbent Mary Rickard with 55% of the vote in the November 5th election. He joins two other newly elected supervisors, retired Reading Police Lieutenant Alan Long, District 2, and business owner Matt Plummer, District 4, who won their seats in March. Long won in a four-way race for an open seat, while Plummer defeated incumbent Patrick Jones. The November 5th election saw 78% voter turnout, with 90,162 ballots cast. Other significant results included the defeat of Measures P and Q, new members elected to the Anderson and Shasta Lake City Councils, and several positions filled on the County Board of Education. In other news from the Shasta County legal system, Lisa Marie Jensen, a Shasta County criminal defense attorney, appeared in court Friday to face DUI charges after allegedly hitting a pedestrian while driving under the influence. The pedestrian required medical attention. At the arraignment, Jensen pleaded not guilty. The plaintiff's lawyer cited Jensen's prior DUI and reckless driving convictions, arguing she posed a danger to the community. The judge continued Jensen's release on her own recognizance with conditions. She cannot drive unless properly licensed, consume or possess alcohol, and must attend weekly substance abuse meetings. The alleged victim was not present, but his defense requested bail for Jensen. Jensen's next plea disposition court is January 3rd at 1:30 p.m. in Shasta County Courts. Another recent lawsuit in Shasta County involves a medical malpractice claim. In June 2020, a 41-year-old woman underwent a tubal ligation at Shasta Regional Medical Center. She allegedly experienced medical issues for nearly 3 years before a surgical sponge was discovered in her cervical area in April 2023. The woman has filed a lawsuit against the medical center and Dr. Norman Nassis, claiming medical malpractice and general negligence. The lawsuit does not specify a dollar amount in damages. The hospital and doctor's attorney have denied the allegations. Studies show that retained surgical items occur in approximately 1.3 cases per 10,000 procedures, with sponges being the most frequently reported item causing patient harm. Improved communication among surgical teams is recommended to reduce such incidents. Around 1,500 cases of retained surgical objects are estimated to occur annually out of 28 million surgeries performed in the U.S. Shifting the focus to wildlife, a new gray wolf pack consisting of two adults and two pups has been identified in Shasta County, California. This discovery comes amid broader wolf activity across Northern California, with the state now monitoring 9 packs as of November 2024. The Shasta County pack's territory extends near the borders of Lassen and Tehama counties, with possible movement into Plumas County. Gray wolves, extinct in California by the 1920s, began returning to the state in 2011. Since then, they have reestablished themselves across northeastern California's forests. The species is currently protected under both state and federal endangered species acts. In 2023, wildlife officials documented 73 reports of wolf livestock incidents, with 38 confirmed or probable wolf attacks. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife continues to track wolf movements and population growth throughout the region. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
All right, there we are.
You know, there was something that was really about the surgery thing. That's really disturbing. I'm sorry. That's disturbing to me. Wow.
Yeah. No, it happens, I guess. It's not the first time I've actually heard that over the years. So, I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
Not sure where the disconnect is. But anyway, I do have a clip here I want to get on from JP. This one's pretty good. The title is Idiots Trying to Save Cable News. Let's go ahead and play this. And,
good luck.
And then we'll go from there. But it's actually pretty good.
All right, boys, we got a real problem here. Cable news ratings have plummeted since the election. No, that's incorrect. Not possible. It's me on the air every night. People love me. Yeah, he thinks very highly of himself. I do. Still, ratings are down. But he comes across as so self-righteous and talks down to people. This just in. That's true. In spite of that, the network's going to be making massive budget cuts if we don't turn the ship around. We might all get fired.
Well, that's not good.
Cletus, what the f*** is that?
Oh, I'm still doing COVID. I watched your show last night. Another winter of death.
Oh, yeah. It's all true. Advertisers are pulling back because they don't want to pay $7 million for 300 people to see their pharmaceutical commercials anymore. Well, that doesn't make any sense, but I guess we need to figure out how to bring in more viewers and fast.
What do you think made us lose so many viewers in the first place?
The gist of it is that our election narrative was about 180 degrees out of tune with how most Americans saw reality. How could so many people get it wrong? Bunch of idiots. Wait a minute. I have an idea.
Huh?
What if we go hard with a narrative like, Trump is really bad?
Oh, yeah, we go from bad to really bad. That's a pivot.
I think people would tune into that for 365 days a year. Yeah. Instead of Trump is Hitler, we go with Trump is Genghis Khan. A completely fresh approach. If our ratings show we've been leaning in the wrong direction, why don't we lean even further in that direction? We can only go up, right?
Unless we go further down.
Go further in the same direction. Write that down. What else can we do to transform the news back into something people want to watch?
You know how a lot of podcasters and YouTubers attract more viewers than us?
Yeah, that should be illegal. Can we make it illegal? I'll talk to Jenkins in the legal department to see who we have blackmail on in the house. You might be able to push that through.
You gonna African-American mail someone?
Oh yeah, we don't have all those tapes in storage for nothing.
You know, I wonder how a podcaster who's all alone can outperform our anchors who have a staff of 3,500 people behind them.
Good point. We probably need more staff. I'll make some calls. You know, I read somewhere that people have trust in independent broadcasters, and they don't trust us news anchors. Can we buy trust?
I'll talk to Kamala's campaign manager to get some recommendations on how trust can be bought.
I know how we can build a little trust while we work on buying the real thing. We have more gay and gender hilarious talent on air.
I will probably do it.
Can you be gay?
I can be anything I'm paid to be.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm gay now.
That's incredible.
I didn't know you were gay.
Oh, yeah. I'm super gay.
We need to get more fluoride in the water supply.
We should definitely up-level how much we demonize our viewers. Make them feel bad for watching. Emotionally abuse them for thinking.
I have an idea. You know how most stories we report on are ones we just make up?
Yeah, and they're pretty good.
Right. But what if we just reported on what was actually happening and then let viewers make up their own minds on what to think of it?
What do you mean? You're making no sense with this, Cletus. Yeah, you're basically speaking Latin here, buddy. You're making no sense.
Like, say Trump does something, then we just tell our viewers what he did, and they decide if it's good or bad.
Oh, I see. So, for example, we tell people Trump's a dictator, then they decide which dictator he's like. That would engage the audience more. They might like that. We could even give them options to choose from. Yeah, give them multiple choice options of which dictator Trump is. Maybe even give them just, like, one option to choose from so they'll have an easier time knowing which dictator he's like. Now, that's a good idea, Cletus. Write that down. This is the kind of change that's going to turn us around.
Thanks. I like how you guys improved the idea to make it better.
Well, I think we've done a lot to right this ship of cable news. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to go brainwash this into people. And they say you can't steer a sinking ship.
Or one that's already sinking.
It is good to be so in tune with the American public. Long live cable news.
There's so much truth in that one. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of pairs into what we've been talking about.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Andrew from Bernie. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey there, gang. Hey, I was listening to the town hall. They were speaking of the wolves that have moved into California. A friend of mine is a federal officer, a game hunter. He says to me, quote, there have never been wolves in California, ever. Now, what we're seeing, they introduced into Oregon, Montana, Idaho, etc., subarctic species that never existed in the lower 48. These animals are bigger, stronger, much more aggressive than any of the smaller wolves that did exist in those states. I'm just putting it out there. Have you heard this, or is it just me?
I have heard a little bit about that, but wasn't it like 10 years ago they introduced that one? What was he called, like? Something 22 or whatever, remember, that they put a collar on?
I do.
Yeah.
And should you run across one, and I wouldn't encourage one to dispatch it, but don't have your cell phone on you when you do.
Herein lies a huge portion of these problems, too, is that we have an overabundance of predators in California, more ways than one, but... You've got an overabundance of these, and you also have the situation to where, like, okay, so, like, these big cats that are all over in California, you can't shoot those. That's completely illegal for you to do. But by the same token, because of that, they're overrunning the entirety of the population, and so you're messing with the deer, you're messing with all the rest of it, and it's much more difficult to be able to have land management. You have all these bleeding hearts that are protecting all these predators and making it to where all of the rest of the ecosystem gets screwed up because of it. We don't have any shortage of bobcats or any shortage of mountain lions in the state, but by the same token, we do have shortages of deer and all the rest of the animals that those things eat.
True. I try to eat organic myself, and I did not get deer this year. I do have bear tags. And, you know, a lot of the guys running into a bear sign, for those of you who don't know, it's their used food. They're finding bones in it. And that would be I think, venison or deer, because the mamas tell the babies to stay put, and they're very dutiful. Mm-hmm. And they will stay put and get murdered. Murder is maybe the wrong word, but part of the food chain.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, we've had a coyote problem too in our area. I mean, we got coyotes that are
coyotes all over here.
The deer population out quite a bit too.
But up here we have a coyote roundup, and I've never participated. But the price of ammunition, I'm not gonna.
Right.
But I have heard of that other wolf, and I think I've seen it mostly in other states, how vicious that they really are and what they're doing with the animals.
Well, they were never there in those states. They're bringing up Canadian subarctic species.
Yeah, that are twice as big,
I think it's becoming a problem. I think Colorado was one of them that was having real issues with that, too.
Right. But anyway, just a sideline. Just thought I'd mention it. That's the way I see it from here in Bernie.
So real quick, too. So the mountain lion population, they estimate, is between 3,200 and 4,500, which is much lower than the California Fish and Wildlife Department estimate, about 6,000. So it by no means is something that is endangered or an issue, but you do have issues with, you know, especially up where you're at. You might have one on your roof when you end up coming out and just might meet an untimely end occasionally.
Hey, Dave, have you ever heard the sweet little noises they make? They sound like birds.
Hmm.
They can make vocalizations of a little Tweety bird, and I have heard those in the woods. I was carrying a rifle at the time, but I was being stalked.
Mm-hmm.
Go online. You can hear the delightful little bird noises they make.
Interesting.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, they do.
The only thing I've heard is screams from them.
Yeah.
They do screams, but they also they can vocalize different things. They make calls. They make calls to basically try to bring you in, because they're just like hunters. Hunters make calls. They make calls. They're a scary animal.
They're just like hunters. I think they are.
they are an apex predator.
Yeah.
Thank God for the Op 6, 270, 243, 330.
They're pretty slick hunters.
Very good.
Yeah. We may need these for the blue hats, too.
Thanks for the call, Andrew.
I appreciate it. Yeah, when he first started talking about wolves, I thought he was going to go someplace else about our government or something anyhow.
I guess we have another caller.
We do. We've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, good morning, you guys. Great show. Great job. And, Mark, I agree 1,000,000,000% with you. You're absolutely spot on. It shouldn't even be your opinion, my good friend. It should be a fact that Biden is trying to make this a complete mess for all of us and a complete mess for Donald Trump to clean up. You're absolutely spot on. There's no, not only should it be your opinion, my good friend, but which it is, it's right on. It's absolutely spot on.
It's pretty evident.
If you're doing everything possible before you leave office to circumvent every rule and law and border and policy and pardon everybody who's doing all the crimes.
I just showed you, as soon as he did his son, that then you could just see where he's going with everything.
This is funny. It's right after the election.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pardoning people who haven't even done the crime, haven't been arrested.
Yeah, he's pardoning Fauci right now. I didn't know he was charged. Lord. I thought Fauci was a stand-up guy all of a sudden.
Well, I thought Kennedy had a case against Fauci.
No, he just wrote a book. He hasn't been charged with anything.
I thought he was taking him to court. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Civilly.
Yeah.
Maybe civilly, but not criminally. But hey, you know, you got to cover all your bases when you're a crime family.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Really, I mean, your opinion, my friend, is fact. It's not opinion; it's fact. Buddy.
I appreciate it.
It is. They're trying to do this. They're trying to tank us. They're going to make it really hard for Trump, and we need to stand up now. And I thought what you did with Mark Baird was excellent. Anyway.
Stay tuned. There'll be more, and then we'll get all that information, get it on podcasts as well.
Yeah, we did do 4 podcasts on Jefferson State of Mind, MINE, the podcast. You can find that on Rumble. You can find it on Facebook. If you just search engine Jefferson State of Mind, the podcast, it'll probably be the first one that pops up there. It'll be the discussion of why we need state split. And we did 4 of those, and yeah, Mark, I think it'd be great. If you want to do a podcast with Mark Baird, that would be outstanding.
Yeah, maybe we can take all 4 of them and encapsulize it down to, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes or something and get it out there again, just because we just got to keep pounding the drum on this stuff.
Yeah, and we purposely made each one of those pretty short. They're around 15 to 20 minutes, I think, at most. So we did make them to where they weren't long podcasts, so people could kind of do, you know, kind of get the idea of where we were going with it. But, yeah, anyway, great show. And, man, I mean, we just really have to get moving on this, like, now.
Very good. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that, we've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick. Yep, we had Dick.
Oh, we have a dial tone on the line.
Well, call back, Dick. I'm not sure what happened.
Sure what happened.
Oh, wait. Is he back? No, he's there. Hello, Dick.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Anyway, I want to remind people that my wife, Frances, and I have a home on Merrill Court, which is has a big red barn out right off of South Bonneview, close to South Bonneview and East Bonneview intersection. Anyway, our house is lit up again, and this is the 15th year that we've been helping the Salvation Army with the red kettle out there. And in the last 14 years, we were very close to $317,000 for Salvation Army. And we're taking cash donations also. We have a method of the Salvation Army, maybe these cards with this little target on it. You can scan it with your phone and donate directly to the Salvation Army on your cell phone. And one more thing that we also been handing out 5-inch candy canes to kids, and there's a lot of people. This year we started out with a leftover about 2,000. Last year we gave away about 12,000 candy canes, and some volunteers have been donating. Like Linda Kent, she donated a case of 36 dozen candy canes, and CVAC bought me 2 cases. Frank Rose bought me 1 case. My daughter Linda, she actually bought 4 cases of it. A case is of 36 at Walmart is like $62 plus a few upset some chains. And a kid down the street named Dakota, he bought me a bag with 12 dozen in it, which is very kind of him. He's a young kid, about 15, 16 years old. But if anybody would like to donate candy canes, they have them at Walmart. I don't know how many they have left, but this year they only bought 2,000 dozen of peppermint and 600 dozen of cherry, and they're running out. I think pretty much we're running out. But anyway, if anybody would like to help with some candy canes, just drop them by at my house. We use them to greet the traffic. And two of my loyal helpers have been out there. Robert Exter, he's been out every night and stays till we quit. And my kettle guy, Morton Gaisecki, this is about his fourth or fifth year, and Robert's been helping me for over 10 years. But if anybody would like to help, also be what I call street greeters, they could come out and get a little training and be able to do it. So anyway, my phone number is 530-246-9131. Give a call if you'd like to help or you'd like to bring some candy canes and buy it. We give away the 5-inch ones.
All right.
And right now, Walmart's selling them for $1.73 for a box of 1 dozen. And a case of 36 of those is $62 and a little change. And I'd like to thank all the people who already donated candy canes to me and the people who come by and donate. We take cash. We take checks. We just make out a check to Salvation Army and the lower left memorial, right, Red Barn Kettle. And you can bring it by or drop it off at Salvation Army on 2691 Larkspur Lane. They'll accept it there also. So anyway, my number again is 530-246-9131. Come by and see us and bring some cash if you wish, or drop some candy canes off, or just come by and say hi.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Dick, for doing all of that, and I'm glad that people are starting to help you out with some candy canes.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit of help already this year, which has been great.
Good.
So, anyway, and thank you, Linda, for the case you bought me.
No problem.
All right, very good. All right.
Hopefully.
Thanks for the call, Dick.
And Merry Christmas to you and Fran. I'll see you before then, but still, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, drop by our place and say hi.
I will.
And the lights come on about 5 o'clock, and right now they go off at 10, but a little later as the traffic picks up, I keep them on until about 11 o'clock, and they start going. I have like 13 timers, and they start going off right now about 10 o'clock. So drop by and see us. 3187 Barrel Court, right off of South Bonneview, close to the intersection of East Bonneview and South Bonneview. There's a traffic light there. Anyway, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. I guess, and with that, we probably take a break, and then we'll just pick up where we're going to go after that. See what else we want to talk about in the next part of the show. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Dashing through the snow in a lifted pickup truck. O'er the hills we go, looking for a buck. I'm back here in the bed with a big smile on my face. I'm getting in the spirit with a loaded 308. Oh, jingle bells, fill that freezer up. Oh, what fun it is just drinking bourbon, shooting bucks. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to shoot a deer on Christmas Day. Santa came last night, but he parked his sleigh next door, 'cause he knows I'd love a reindeer mount right over my front door. And we told all the kids those presents have to wait till Daddy comes back home with a big dead deer on his tailgate. Oh, jingle bells.
Invest in your future with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready or transfer eligible in programs like nursing, forestry, teaching, accounting, physical therapy assistant, computer information systems, and many others. Classes are free for full-time students with flexible hours and compressed 8-week options. Perfect for working adults. Ask about the many financial aid options available to help you turn your calling into a career. Spring semester begins January 13th. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Redding businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
I got love for every nation. I got love for all races. I got love for all religions. Got love for so many places. No love for a politician, a congressman, or a senator. If the country that they put in first ain't the United States of America. No love for these politicians with corporate interests in other countries. Only one that I serve is God. I don't serve man, I don't serve money. No love for the people living in the USA, but always hating it. Got a lot I probably shouldn't say to y'all. Matter of fact, I'll just pray on it. I'm pro-life, pro-God, pro-gun. Not ashamed of it. Yo, worship and military. killing babies, mutilating children, y'all are stating this. Supporting the troops in the tour doesn't mean that you're supporting the war. Supporting the freedoms that they're fighting for doesn't mean that you're supporting the gore. Supporting the country I live in and loving it doesn't mean bounty supporting the government. The world that we live in is trouble. They turn up the media, we should defund it. Supporting America for other nations does not make me a racist. If you like communism so much, I'll pay for your vacation. America first, the people are hurt. Convents in the street with nothing to eat and nowhere to work. Sending our dollars overseas and funding these wars. No love for these politicians if they're not America first. America first, as countries protect their borders, it's not a controversial subject. I say close the southern border, it seems to get people upset. I don't care what names you call me, we in $40 trillion of debt. Uncle Sam takes half your money, then you get a loan refund check. I am America first. Kamala cares a better person.
Sovereign Minds, second hour here. Second, last half of the second hour, I guess. That was Donald Trump, America first. I can't really understand. Yeah, you got to do the Donald Trump dance there. I don't understand why anybody thinks that it would be better to have everybody else first. I mean, make America great again. What's
bad about it? I don't get that.
Yeah, it's, oh, you're a MAGA. Yeah.
Okay.
And you're what? A maggot? I don't know. I mean, I don't get the whole disconnect, because it's like, oh, we want a global world where we all lock hands and.
But isn't that why
Chinese
they
get
wanted
to tell
to come
us what
here?
We need to buy? Huh?
They wanted to come here because America was great.
Well, for opportunities. It was great. That's
I'm
what it's all
saying,
about. It's
yeah,
about working
but,
hard and having an opportunity.
But now that's a bad thing that y'all came here and now it's a bad thing?
What they want is they want womb-to-tomb government telling them what to do and helping with
everything.
Exactly. They want to be taken
everything.
Care of. They don't want to be free. They want to be enslaved by their own government because then they don't have to think for themselves. And, you know, fashionable with some of these people to actually be free.
I'd rather be in the basement.
I would rather be a serf.
Yeah, in the basement, relying on the check to come in the mail.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds good to me.
So, not to me.
not me either, really. Come on, hello.
So anyway, I do want to bring up the Board of Supervisors meeting on the 10th at 9 a.m. This Tuesday. And I think people need to attend that because there's going to be some matters on the agenda here. I think the big ones that are going to be the ones that we want to have people show up for is R5, approve a letter to the United States Department of Justice requesting clarification on issues related to the time stamps on the audit log. What are those all about? I mean, if Laura Hobbs wants to call in or anybody else here in the next half hour and explain things to us. You know, we've got overspray on the ballots on R6. So we've got R7, declare nominations, measures, and persons elected based on certified results. So the certification is being questioned. We also know that Taller, you know, accepted as certified ballots or votes, things that shouldn't have been. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on.
There's so much going on down there that it's, yeah.
So I highly recommend that you need to start showing up and getting involved with your own government, because you get the government you deserve depending on your participation.
Yeah. It's just hard to believe that there's so much going on down there and they just want to move on. You know what I mean? Just let's go ahead and no problem.
Can't keep moving on. We got to stop this and fix it.
And I want to remind people that on the 19th of December 19th, Board of Supervisors has a night meeting.
Okay.
It's one of the few night meetings that we have, and so that's at 5:30 p.m.
Okay.
On the 19th
of
December.
Do you know what that one's about?
I
was looking at the agenda.
I don't think the agenda comes out yet for that one.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that when they used to have a special meeting, they have something in mind.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm looking,
Let me know if you find it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess moving right along here.
Before we move along, I'm sorry, talking about the ROV, and I heard this morning on the radio about Dolores. Did you hear about her votes?
No.
But the story is, on one day she had like 972 votes. Another day, she had like 1,100. And then the following date, then she was back to like 972.
See, I don't trust the whole election thing at this point at all. I mean,
how does that happen?
Well, because they don't have a system in place that you can trust, that you can believe is accurate, that you can believe is not being manipulated. I mean, we know that they're hooked up to the internet. How else do you change the timestamps? We also know that when you start duplicating ballots, all it does is cause confusion.
Right, but the AB, again, I mean, there's so many problems down there. So one day you have 900 and something, the next day you have more than that, and then you go back to 900 and something.
And all of this could have been stopped by just going with the hand counting.
Yeah.
Like, we voted in this county,
yep,
and that's what we wanted. But why is the state so intent? Why are they so dead set against us running our own county and choosing the method that we think is going to be the best, the cheapest, and the most accurate for us? And you can't come up with any reason other than they're trying to control the elections, and control it for what purpose?
Yeah, and control the people. And with that, I think we go to Stones first. He's on the line. Good morning, Stones.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How you go?
I'll go quickly.
Okay.
I'll go quickly. So first, remember, we're going to try to recall our district attorney. Still collecting volunteers, data, facts, everything else. 530-962-5168 or recall DA Bridget at fortonmail.com. So we're still working on that.
What's that number again, Rich? What's the phone number again?
530-962-5168.
Thank you.
And when it comes to elections, yeah, wow, right? So the registrar certified. Okay. There's nothing true and correct about this election. Let us count the ways. Hopefully Tuesday there will be people at the Board of Supervisor meeting where they're supposed to be declaring. We've had problems before declaring a fraudulent election. I don't know if that's going to change this time or not, but, here's the key. In Riverside County in 2010, their registrar was let go. Last year in 2023, their registrar in the same county, so twice in 13 years, that county has removed their registrar of voters. Last year, the county CEO suspended their registrar for a bunch of nefariousness, and then she wound up quitting with, a really huge severance package, but that doesn't matter. Last year, the laws and regulations are in place. Our county can suspend our registrar. I am calling now publicly for next year's Board of Supervisors to hold an immediate special meeting in order for the public to weigh in, and then they suspend Thomas Toller. This is the worst election we've ever had when it comes to fairness and transparency. It's the worst. And nobody with four brain cells can argue that point.
I'm curious, Rich, if, let's say that he resigns due to health reasons, which from what I've seen could be a real possibility. Does the board appoint another one, or does the one that's in line, Joanna Francesca, does she step into the position?
So they will appoint an interim registrar, okay, and it will likely be Joanna. But here's the key. We have 15 to 18 months before the next election. We have plenty of time to suspend Toller and look and recruit and bring in all new leadership. Yes, that includes firing Joanna. She is complicit in this fraud. So we have time to do this, but it must begin immediately with the new Board of Supervisors. Can they appoint a supervisor in lieu of election? Yes, they can, just like they did Mr. Toller. But I think they can also call for a special election. Although that'll be expensive, but you know what? Should the people be the ones choosing, or should the county board of supervisors be the ones choosing? That's a debate for another day. But again, I'm calling for the new board of supervisors to suspend Mr. Toller after a special meeting with public input. This has to happen now. No more damage control to try to protect Toller. He is a miserable failure. Just like I've never studied to be a NASA astronaut. I've never been born to do that. Mr. Toller apparently was not naturally inclined to be a registrar. He needs to go. Just like we've replaced numerous county councils, and by the way, the current one needs to go too, by the way, another discussion. But we need to start going to we need to get another registrar. It needs to happen immediately.
Oh, very good, Rich. We've got Laura on the line waiting, so unless
all right,
you got
have
something...
a good day.
All right,
all
thanks,
right,
Rich. We appreciate it.
We
bye-bye.
Appreciate the information. And with that, we'll go to Laura. Good morning, Laura.
Oh, morning. Thank you to your previous caller. I agree with everything that he said. There's no way that this election can be certified as true, accurate, and correct. If you look closely at the agenda, it says that there's a statement of vote attached to the certificate produced by Thomas Toller. However, there is no statement of votes cast there in the agenda. This is a 700-page document. And when I called in, they said, oh, we'll get that ready by Tuesday. Well, guess what? They're planning to declare the results on Tuesday. So that's a little late. We need those statement of votes to actually look through and see if their numbers add up. For instance, at the precinct, you should be able to look and see that the number of in-person votes matches the number of cast votes in that precinct. So there's little things like that that have yet to be done because they have not released this information. They have been very untransparent. This whole election is worse than any election I've seen previously, unfortunately. So yes, I agree with the previous caller that we do need to get rid of Thomas Toller. We do need to get rid of Joanna Francesca as well.
Well, because she's been the surrogate behind him anyway, his proxy, if you will, or whatever.
Probably.
She's been running the show. Yeah. He hasn't really been doing it anyway. So if we're going to lay this on the feet of somebody, it's probably her to begin with.
Exactly, yes. And this is part of our local corruption, the local swamp that we need to get rid of and start fresh. Unfortunately, you know, when Kevin Cry strong-armed the board to get Thomas Toller in there, what we got was more of the same old corruption that we've seen for years. We need a fresh start at this. And I just wanted to speak a little bit to the time changes, if you're interested in,
yes,
or if your listeners,
yeah,
would like to know about that. So the Hart voting machines had over 20 different time changes. They weren't just one time change and done. There were multiple time changes, sometimes forward, sometimes backwards, sometimes minutes, hours, and even days. And these time changes had a pattern that looked very much like a scripted algorithm, because when one time change finished, exactly 60 seconds later, another time change was initiated. Humans don't behave in 60-second increments. Even if they wanted to, they would probably fail. So this is something that at first we were told, oh, these changes did occur in the middle of the night and my workers were there making those changes. Well, video footage shows there was nobody there in the middle of the night, so that went out the window. Then they said, well, that was my worker. Even though it said 2 a.m., it was really happening at 2 p.m. This is all in the audit log, mind you. And then, but now with these 60-second increments, it clearly was not a human being making these changes. Our machines have been infiltrated. They are not trustworthy and not certifiable and certainly not declarable by our board. And it's high time that people get out there, make a fuss, make it known that we're not going to sit back and just take this anymore. We have to do something about it. This is our very freedom and liberty that's at stake. And if not now, then when? It can't get any worse than it's already gotten.
Right.
I agree with you. You know, even on the timestamps, say it was 2 a.m. What difference does it matter? What if it's 2 a.m., why would a worker be in the office at 2 a.m. doing anything, yeah, with the ballots?
Exactly. I mean, there is one day I have seen people there at 2 a.m. because I was there at 2 a.m. with them, and that's on election night, this last election. However, for the most part, that does not happen.
Right.
And it should not happen. And I believe that this was fraud, and this was corruption, and the fact that they will no longer share these audit logs with us, because what we found shows that they are hiding information from the public. An election has to be transparent. The very definition of election is that it's a public counting of votes. That's in the California Election Code 335.5.
Is there any reason for them to actually do these changes? that they're authorized to do? I mean, it doesn't even matter whether it's in the middle of the day and there was somebody there, because who's changing the timestamps and why would you do that?
Yeah, there is no, we have been offered no verifiable explanation. The only reason why it might have occurred was because there was a time change. We sprung forward in March.
But however, that would only be one day.
Dozen. That's 1 hour, one day,
yeah.
One device. Here we're talking about multiple devices, multiple time changes, and Heart InterCivic has refused to speak to the board on this. They were on the agenda twice, and both times they were a no-show. The reason is because this is serious. They know it is serious. They are watching every single word they say because they realize that this is a crime. There's serious implications here, and unfortunately, until, you know, the majority of people in this county wake up and speak up and start doing something about it, they're just expecting this to blow over, and we'll just rubber stamp it, you know, we'll certify, we'll declare, and then it's over, you know. So that's, I want to get people to come out to the board meeting Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. And there's also an election commission meeting going to happen tomorrow at 2 p.m. where people can come as well.
And has the election commission brought forth any suggestions for what has happened?
You know, they hosted Steve Umfleet, and he got to present all the data on the time changes that he found from spending hundreds of hours of analyzing those audit logs. So they did address it in that fashion. They have not formulated recommendations for the board based on this information. However, I'm hoping that will be forthcoming. They have done a number of recommendations that are published on their website that you can look at. They recommended hand counting at the precincts. They recommended one-day elections, using limited absentee balloting, as well as
voter ID and proof of citizenship would be a good start too.
Well,
exactly. Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, so the Board of Supervisors, put that commission into place. You would think that they would start maybe following some of their recommendations. I'm just saying.
Absolutely, and you know, now we're a charter county, so that opens up other avenues.
Correct.
For us. I've written some measures that we can implement. Measure E that specifies elections shall be held on one day, limited absentee ballots. This would be something the voters of Shasta County could vote on. Measure V would clean our voter rolls. Measure C, the Shasta County shall follow the
U.S.
Constitution.
Can you send me a copy of those by any chance, Laura?
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah, I'd like to get them on there. Maybe we can get them out there and do a podcast on them as well. And get people behind them so that they can, you know, get these implemented somehow, because we need to start taking control here from the we the people standpoint and put pressure on our county supervisors to do the right thing.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we do have another caller, unless you got something else, Laura.
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Laura. I appreciate it.
And with that, we'll go to our other caller. We got Laura. Lori on the line. I'm sorry. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad Laura called in. I was going to mention the Election Commission meeting tomorrow at 2, and it starts with public comment. So in case people are trying to, you know, work out their day, then there's regular calendar, and it's all about the R1 is the research regarding the tabulations of November 5th election. R2 is regarding the duplication of the ballots, which includes our pathetic capacity to observe in any meaningful way. R3, the voting system standards. R4 is that 1% manual hand count. So people can go look up the agenda if they wish. I want to request that the newest commissioners to this board that somehow are hesitant, especially Mr. Brad Garbutt, who thinks this is all a joke, it's ridiculous and a waste. If he's not paying attention, he needs to remove himself and excuse himself from the board. Commission is pointless. He's just going to just waste people's time. We've only got 2 meetings left, and I'll be at a meeting later today to go over my observations after about a week and a half. We paid for armed security at the elections office, armed security by Ardent. Joanna Prescott still needs to explain her Nevada County trip, no follow-up, confusing camera signs, whether you can take pictures or not in the building. Some people are wearing badges if they work there, some don't. It's just impossible to grasp what's occurring because this nightmare has never happened, and I wish ROV Tom Toller would have just realized he didn't create this problem, but he did a really unbelievable job of leadership, and Joanna absolutely has minimal leadership at this point. She could have made herself shown that she's very different from the past regime of Kathy Allen. My God. I'm still making a list. I have a meeting today at 2:30 to kind of compile my affidavit of what I experienced and endured, and it's just astonishing. I am just stunned. There is so much information, and thank God you guys are able to showcase this and have this being addressed on your radio program. I appreciate it.
No problem. I have to agree with you. It's amazing how much is going on in our little ROV office. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and it's happening other places, too. So you know what, Shasta County? Just keep being the light, show the light, and people need to move their little egos. Check it out, knock it off, stop it, and we have to work out what we want is transparent, fair elections, and we do not have it, and if anyone wants to certify this, it's ridiculous. Thank you, Patrick Jones, for saying no the last time. Myself and Jim Burnett, we were saying this, nope, wrong problems, issues.
That should be our new saying, stop it, get some help.
Stop it. Yeah, we'd like to take the fake person that makes all these videos to stop it, too. Yeah.
Stop touching me.
Get some help.
Serious help. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, well, we appreciate you, Lori.
All right. Very good. We've got just a couple more minutes.
We've got Dolores on the line. Good morning, Dolores. Dolores, you there? Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Yes. You got a minute or so here, so you better hurry up.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay, I think they need to fire Mr. Tom Toller. They need to fire him, no ifs, no buts, because there is election fraud. And everything he's done, he didn't address my complaint that there was two people who didn't qualify to be on the ballot. He could have prevented it, but no, here we are. I have to file a lawsuit against the county. And we definitely need to fire the people. And I got a feeling it's not going to happen because I do got a feeling
this is weird, Dolores. This is two calls in a row where we actually agreed on something.
Oh my gosh, that's scary. But but definitely, I've been saying how long have I been saying election fraud in the Shasta Lake for years. Years, but now it's happening everywhere. Now that's why we're agreeing, because it's affecting everybody, and so that's why we agree. And so it affects everybody. Then we decide, okay, she was right.
I'm not sure that's the reason we agree, because I've been talking about election fraud for a long time. But I do agree with you that there's fraud, and we need to get these things transparent, and we need to shore up the processes so that they can't be manipulated.
Well, that's what we have to do something different. Here we are, years and years, and we've known this for a long time. We wait till the last minute. Everybody waits. Yep. So I don't know. I think that something should have been done way before.
Well, there you have it.
I have to kind of agree with that in some ways, but,
Thanks for the call, Dolores. We appreciate your input.
Yeah.
All right.
We've known for a long time that there was something wrong, but, again...
Right.
It's just the last couple of years. You have to, remember two people in the last couple of years.
It's been like 4 years, 2000.
Have really started to step up. Yeah. Yes, we should have done it before. Yes, we were asleep. I agree to that. But at the same time, we sure are stepping up now. A lot of people are becoming aware.
I'm not sure that it was so much as that we were being asleep as we were being gamed by the mainstream media, which now has lost its power because that was the big thing with the last election. Oh, you're an election denier. And the mainstream media would just lambaste anybody who said anything different. They wouldn't present the evidence. They wouldn't do any investigative reporting. Anything that was contrary to the narrative, they squashed. But that's changing.
I agree
changing.
To that, but that even before the last election, there was issues that we didn't address.
I agree. So that's
the big thing, too, is that they constantly try to keep us at each other's throats.
They do,
constantly try to end up putting wedges between us, be it religion, be it anything else that's out there, and they want to basically keep the people separate so that we can't actually address the actual issues that we have, and that is that we have a corrupt government that's screwing us at every opportunity, at every single
and
level.
And a corrupt media, and a corrupt banking industry. So we've got corruption coming out of our yangs.
So that's the big thing. So the print media and the media in general is now owned by 6 companies. It's no longer even 8 companies. We have 6 companies that now own almost everything that you see or read. And more now.
Well, what's going to happen when Elon...
In the mainstream, because I don't read any of that crap anymore. That's why they're going under. And most people are starting to say, listen, I can't read this stuff. I have been lied to so much. Why would I even continue? So they're starting to look for alternative sources. And it's very evident in this last election because the mandate that happened and the media lied through the whole thing. And they still didn't have control and Trump ended up winning because it was too big to rig. So, interesting development. So I do want to touch, we're about out of time. I was going to touch on this select committee saying vaccine mandates were not supported by science. I thought Fauci was the science and that the mask rules were useless. And it said they did more harm than good. And the final report on the select subcommittee on coronavirus pandemic, which has conducted in its 2-year long investigation into the virus, has just come out, and the summary in the report shows the committee concluded was most likely emerged from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. Who knew? Good grief.
4 years later. Wait, I lost a Facebook account, a YouTube. I lost 50,000 follows on that for, you know, telling people
at
the time.
I think we're going to get the music here. And remember, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.